You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Good morning. It is early on Friday, April the 9th, and the sun is shining on the Mersey on Grand National Eve. Welcome to our Grand National special. This is also our 200th edition, and in a few moments' time, I'll be joined by Nick Luck Daily podcast regular Lydia Hislop to go through each and every one of the 40 runners that line up in this year's Randox Grand National. And we'll also be hearing the thoughts of all our regular contributors, Jane Mangan, Rishi Prasad, Cornelius Lycett, newsboy David Yates of the Daily Mirror, and the Racing Post senior writer Lee Mottishead. That's all to come. But first, all our thoughts are with Lorna Brooke this morning. She took a fall at Taunton yesterday at the third fence on a horse called Orchestrated. She was airlifted to hospital. She is in a very serious condition. Needless to say, our thoughts are with you, Lorna, and with all of your family who are huge supporters of this sport. National Hunt Racing carries with it, of course, that element of risk. It requires enormous bravery, enormous courage on the part of all its participants, human and equine. And the Grand National itself, a great test of the horse and the human and their relationship, and one that we continue to celebrate. It's a wonderful horse race. We are so looking forward to it. Lydia, before we launch into this year's race, let's have a reflection on yesterday and the first day of the Grand National meeting at Aintree. And I think it told us that if Cheltenham wasn't going to go Paul Nicholls' way, this week might. And I think he'll have left a pretty happy man.
Definitely. I think he'd put a lot of eggs in the basket of Aintree. I think he'd decided that with some particular horses, they would be better suited running at Aintree rather than Cheltenham. And others, I think he was just boxing clever with. And so I think this first day yesterday was very, very important to him. And had he not come away with at least one, preferably two, and ideally, obviously, more than that, victories, I think he would have been frustrated. But in the end, he's got Mon Mirel, who is very impressive in the Doombar anniversary hurdle, albeit that he gives his trainer a conundrum about what to do with him next year as a five-year-old. And also with Clan des Oboes, who clearly was enlivened by first-time cheek pieces. The recommendation of Harry Cobden after he got off him in the Denman chase, it's clearly helped him be quicker through the air at his fences. And he went about the Betway Bowl yesterday with a lot of verve and helped to force a pace that caused others to crack.
He did. Clan des Oboes was spectacular yesterday, I thought. You did say you thought it had a slightly end-of-term feel about it, the race.
I did feel so, which is not to take anything away from Clan des Oboes, because the pace at which the race was conducted says that that is a top-class performance, right up with his two previous King George wins. And I think Londor Castle has excelled as well. He ran very well up to 3 miles at Kempton on his previous start, and here he laid down a challenge from the second last and then just wasn't able to win with to live with a grade one horse approaching the last. The rest of them, I feel like they didn't give their running for one reason or the other, whether they were over the top, given an unsuitable task, or just a bit aged these days.
Shall we talk about Tiger Roll? You can be as brief as you can be as brief as you like.
I found this whole episode very unedifying, very tiresome, if I'm honest. I had no problem with the ride that Jack Kennedy gave to Tiger Roll yesterday. First of all, I should stress that I also, while saying that, understand why the stewards held the inquiry. This is a public horse. A horse that has been subject to many high-profile news stories over his career due to the forthright views of Michael and Eddie O'Leary, and also, of course, primarily his own exploits. He is totally associated with Liverpool, and so therefore it's only right that the steward should, for the benefit of the public, ask about the running and riding of Tiger Roll. Now, Jack Kennedy, as is the case in the Stewards' Inquiries, was able to answer those questions to my eyes as very satisfactorily. I think he's quite right. The horse was jumping a little bit too low, as he had done over regulation fences in the past. That's why he's so good over the National, because he's so efficient over those fences, which these days in a modern National allow you to jump through them much more than the regulation fences, which require a bit more of an upright, correct way of jumping. So Tiger Roll was low at the third, made quite a significant error. And from then on, he didn't seem to be going with any verve, couldn't lie up. And it just was an unsuitable target. I think everybody knew that it was an unsuitable target. I did take issue with Eddie O'Leary saying that he tried to make the running, which is a way he likes to run. Well, it is a way, absolutely. He made the running in the cross country last time, which was a change of tactics. If you think about the Grand National, he's always sat in mid division. He's also come from further back in many of his better races. It just seemed to me to be a sort of exhibition run to show the handicapper that he's wrong. And I think the two thoughts peacefully coexist myself. I think the idea that Tiger Roll isn't up to grade one standard over regulation fences is fine, and I agree with that, and I think many people thought that going into the race yesterday, hence his drift in the market. At the same time, he is highly effective in the Grand National, which was his putative target, and Martin Greenwood, who's the handicapper for the Grand National, has to assess the horses for that race, and I think that the rating that he gave Tiger Roll for that race was entirely reasonable, and all the hot air that's been battered around since is just incredibly tiresome.
Okay, hot air done, we're on to the race. You want to get into the Grand National, the Randarts Grand National 2021. Now, I've asked all of the guests who appear on this podcast to give us their thoughts on the race. So, Lydia, you can choose. You can pick a card, any card.
Oh, no, that's invidious. That's terrible.
It is terrible, but I'm a bad person.
Have we heard from everybody who contributes from the podcast this week?
Well, we have got final crystallised Grand National thoughts from David Yates, Lee Mottershead, Rishi Persad, Cornelius Lycett and Jane Mangan. So you can choose who you would like to hear first.
Okay, on the basis that I heard Cornelius, David and Jane give their thoughts, I'm going to plug for Lee, please.
Okay. Lydia has gone for Lee and this is what Lee said.
The Grand National has always been my favourite race and I can't wait to get it back on Saturday. At meaty prices, I think Milan Native could run a big race, but my tip for the win, I'm afraid, is very boring. I've been ever so keen on Cloth Cap ever since the weights came out, and my enthusiasm was only boosted when I interviewed Trevor Hemmings for Saturday's Racing Post. Trevor, the owner of Cloth Cap, a triple Grand National winner already, said that he believes that his trainer John Joneal and racing manager Mick Maher, or as he called them, those two crafty buggers, have known for some time how good Cloth Cap is. We all find out in the Randarts Grand National on Saturday.
Well, Lydia, that is a good place to start. Not only because Cloth Cap's the most obvious winner of the race, but also that comment that Lee made there, talking to Trevor Hemmings, that Trevor Hemmings thought those crafty buggers always knew how good Cloth Cap was. Now, if that's the case, he's an absolute certainty. I'm not so sure myself.
That made me laugh. I'm glad I picked that one blind, given that invidious choice. I think that he is clearly well in. He's probably not as literally well in as that run at Kelso might suggest, because I think his opposition mostly didn't really turn up that day, whereas he very much does. He always turns up. He has developed into a top-class staying chaser. He's a very clean, correct jumper. And that's not necessarily the advantage it used to be in the National, perversely, is it? And also, my concern about Cloth Cap is his style of racing. I know he doesn't have to lead, but you do kind of get tempted into doing a little bit too much too soon because you're trying to make that balancing act between holding your position and not getting too far back, but not doing too much. And I just wonder whether just Cloth Cap's way of going, you know, might induce him to do a little bit too much too soon. But we know he stays. He was, as a seven-year-old, he was a sticking on third in the Scottish National. And in many ways, he is ideal for the job. But it's just that little, at the price he is, you start to think about little things like that. It's just that little concern in the back of my head.
And we might give a nod to Milan Native, his sort of big price outsider.
Yeah, now, on the basis of his Kimur victory last season, you could give him every chance, unexposed as a staying chaser. But then, and he started the season really well, didn't he? He even tried to serve it up to the subsequent Gold Cup winner for a few fences in the closing stages when they met early on in the season. Then the wheels seemed to come off. He had a breathing operation. He returned in the Ultima, and he was just never going. He was jumping very upright. And I was very interested that Jack Kennedy referenced that when we interviewed him yesterday on Racing TV, that upright way of jumping and whether it is suitable for a national, the answer being no. And hence, he decided to head towards Farclaw. That was one of the key factors in his decision to ride Farclaw. He accepted that horse might not stay. His stamina is unproven. He thinks the horse will stay. And interestingly, of the other horses that he could have ridden, and I was expecting him to say it was difficult between him and Farclaw and Milan Native, he actually nominated Shattered Love, which I thought was a very interesting shout. She has been running doughtily this season. She was a really good third behind Colreevy and Ellie May in the new mare's chase at the Cheltenham Festival, never quite having the pace to get involved. It was the same behind Ellie May over a shorter trip earlier this season. The problem I have with Shattered Love is that her very best form is over around 2 mile four, 2 mile five. She always shapes in those races as though she wants further. And then every time she's stepped up in trips, she can never get involved.
Okay, who would you like to hear from next?
Let's go with Rishi, please.
Okay, here's my 1-2-3-4 for the Randox Health 2021 Grand National. Farclas to win, like Tiger Roll. He's a former winner of the Triumph Hurdle. He races in the same colours, the Jiggenstown Stud colours. He ran really well at the Cheltenham Festival, and I think he's going to go very well off a lightweight. I think Cloth Cap will finish second. His chance is very obvious to anyone who's been watching racing this season. Mr. Malarkey to fill third spot. Very good run at Kempton last time after a wind-up. About to have his second run after that wind up, and I think he's always appealed as a national type, and it's good that he's coming into this race in good form. And finally, to fill out the first four, I'm going for Bristol DeMay. He is the class act in the race, but just too much weight leaves him vulnerable. So to recap, Farclas to win, Cloth Cap second, Mr. Malarkey third, and Bristol DeMay fourth. Easy as 1-2-3-4.
Farclas, 7 years old, former Triumph Hurdle winner, Jigginstown, Jack Kennedy's choice. I see where he's coming from.
Yeah, he's got a lot going for him. He would break the traditional national mould in that he hasn't already got a win over 3 miles or further under his belt. In fact, he hasn't actually won beyond 2 mile, 3.5. I'm not sure. That gritty, hardened marathon stamina that you need, I'm not sure he has that.
Okay, I just want to...
Progressive, though, sorry. He is a progressive horse.
I get the Mr. Malarkey angle. Bristol DeMay now... Could he get in the first four?
Oh, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it, really? I mean, he is a top-class, relentless staying chaser at his best conditions. Again, he falls into the cap of being such a correct jumper. Is he actually going to gain advantage at these fences that he would normally in other fences? The flat tracks for him, he'd like deeper ground. You know, there's lots of form lines that you could say, yeah, that weight is really feasible. I can see a really doughty, admirable performance, maybe hitting the frame, but I think that's the best he can hope for. And like you, I think... You know, Mr. Malarkey is interesting because there's lots of reasons in his pedigree to think that he will improve for a very long distance trip. They've got added a first time tongue tied to the cheek pieces. I suspect that will have a positive effect. Prominent run style, though, that might make him vulnerable. And recently he's been racing only right handed. And that's where his best form has been recently. And he's a tad inconsistent.
Right. Who's next?
Jane, please.
My selection for this year's Aintree Grand National is the Ted Walsh trained Annie Second Now. I think like a number of horses in this year's lineup, this hasn't just been the plan for one season, it's been the plan for a number of seasons. He's a former Kim Muir Chase winner and he won over 2 miles last time, a similar preparation to that given to Seabass when he finished third in 2011. He's a 9 year old, he's owned and bred by the McManus family, bidding for their second win after Don Push in 2010. I think Annie Second Now has all the right credentials. But if you're getting involved, best of luck.
That was Jane Mangan. Now on a similar theme, what does Cornelius Lysett think?
Hello. The credentials of Cloth Cap are undeniable, but the credentials of two or three others are pretty strong as well. And one of those, I think, is number 15, Annie Second Now, trained like Papillon in 2000 by Ted Walsh. I love his versatility, which bodes well. A prep race over 2 miles, but enough stamina to keep on well over the 3.25 miles of the Kim Muir at Cheltenham, and giving the impression that Moore was within his range. 10.9 seems like a very fair weight. So any second now to win, and a couple at big prices. Number 19, Taking Risks, will stay and has form in the book with I Write, which is a brilliant yardstick. 12-year-olds do win the race. That's about 33-1, as is Lord Dumesnil. Bit of rain in the northwest of England will suit, and I thought I liked him a bit anyway, and his trainer, Richard Hobson, was persuasive on the pod yesterday. So they're my three. Best of luck.
you know, I'm glad on the one sense that you gave me two for the price of one there, because it didn't leave me with that invidious choice that you had to have on, you know, sports day, where the teacher picks somebody from the class and somebody else from the class to be the two team captains, and they ruthlessly go through the entire of their four mates, and you're left to lots of two people that are last and second last. So I'm glad you didn't leave me with that choice to make. That's very kind of you.
Well, David Yates is still standing against the wall with his arms crossed in front of him.
Well, I mean,
waiting for you to pick him.
I suppose so, but you know, you've got a thematic reason why. The problem is that the thematic reason rather jumps ahead to what I think might win the national. So ideally, we'd have had David earlier.
Okay, well, any second now, I think we all think this horse has got a great chance.
Yeah, I think that both Jane and Cornelius have already outlined why it might be. He's got the stamina in the Kim Muir. We saw that when he won it. He was being prepared for this race last year. He has been campaigned over hurdles, then ran in deep ground in the Paris season, dropped out of things, but the national weights hadn't come out until that point. So then we see a good performance over the 2 miles last time out in a race that was probably a little bit one-sided. But the point is, he was able to win it. As Jane mentioned, it's a preparation that Ted Walsh has given to Seabass. Papillon also ran over 2 miles either side of his second national performance. So it's a tried and tested route for Ted Walsh, and I think this horse has got a very strong chance.
Okay, let's hear from Mr. David Yates.
This is Dave Yates, newsboy of the Daily Mirror. My grand national tip is Minella Times. Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore were the dominant combination at Cheltenham last month, and I think they've got an excellent chance of landing the world's most famous steeplechase. Minella Times has proved his ability to cope with big field handicaps, with seconds at Leopardstown on his last two starts. Each time he was strong at the finish, suggesting, and admittedly we can't be sure, that he will cope with the 4.25 mile trip. Jumping shouldn't be a problem for a horse with a sound technique, and Minella Times, with 10 starts over fences to his name, should have the improvement to go past his handicap mark of 146. Blackmore has had a stellar season, and she can crown it with another place in the history books. The Randox Grand National is the 5:15 at Aintree. My selection number 35, Minella Times.
Minella Times for Dave. It's not impossible, Lydia. I just don't know whether the horse will stay.
That's the only thing you can put against him, isn't it? Everything else that Dave said is completely right, as you'd expect, of course. The stamina is unproven. Does he have that acquired grit for this particular task that you get, you know, accreted over time in competitive staying events? That's the question mark for him.
So before we give the Lydia Hislop definitive first 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, how many are you going to give me?
I'm going to go 6.
6? I like it. Before we do that, we are going to play a game we traditionally play every year before the Grand National, which is chance or no chance. It's very simple. You simply have to say whether the horse has a chance or no chance of winning the race. I'll let you go first with each one. Okay, right. Number one, Bristol de May.
No chance.
No chance. Number two, Chris's Dream.
Absolutely no chance.
No chance for me either. Three, Yalarenki.
No chance.
No chance. Four, Ballyoptic.
Absolutely no chance.
No chance. Five, Definitely Red.
No chance.
I mean, we're ruling an awful lot out. Six, Lakeview Lad.
It's good, isn't it? It's really good. But this is what the National is about, isn't it? It's one of those races that lets you do that. That's quite rare. Lakeview Lad, no chance.
I'm afraid to say, I don't think he's got a chance. Seven, Burrow Saint.
Chance.
Eight, Magic of Light.
I do have something I hold against Burrow Saint. He adjusts right. Now, he did so 3 out of the Bobby Joe. He was hanging right, and I accept he might not have liked the ground, might have got tired in the closing stages, but he also adjusted right at Auteuil. That's going to wear on you over 30 fences, isn't it?
I think it is. Magic of Light?
No chance.
Chance for me.
Mm-hmm.
Nine.
It's a price-related argument for me. I fancied her last year at a very big price. Two years ago at a very big price. She ran a corker. Higher in the weights, shorter price. For me, I can't have her.
Acapella Bourgeois.
No chance.
No chance for me either. Ten. Talk Is Cheap.
Chance.
Chance. I agree. Chance. Go back to that Better 365 Gold Cup when he absolutely romped home.
Definitely.
Okay. 2A Per Me.
Absolutely no chance.
No chance. Annabelle Fly.
No chance.
Chance, I think.
Go on.
run well in the race before when given too much to do. Dennis O'Regan's had a good few rides around here, been given a very quiet campaign by the very wily Tony Martin, and is lower in the weights. Touch of class, touch of the Royal Athletes about him, I reckon.
In Tony Martin, you trust.
In Tony Martin, I trust. 13, Mr. Malarkey.
No chance.
You're brutal. Chance. Mm-hmm. 14, Kimberlite Candy.
Chance.
Chance. 15, any second now.
Chance.
Chance, obviously, and everyone else thinks the same. 16, Balco de Flo.
Absolutely no chance.
No chance, I'm afraid. 17, Alpha de Zobo.
You're going to laugh. Chance.
Ooh, go on. I say no chance.
Right, okay. I thought he really enjoyed himself when third in the beach chase. I think he did too much too soon in that performance. Yeah, okay, he's been well below form this season, and I was slightly disappointed with the finishing effort in the cross-country chase. He's going to have to hold his pitch, but if he retains any of his old ability and ridden with restraint, I think he could probably reward each way back, as if I'm being really, really serious. But, you know, for this chance, no chance game, I'm going to give him a chance.
18, OK Corral.
Chance.
No chance.
Oh, go on.
No chance. I just don't think he's got any chance. He's trained by Nicky Henderson for a start.
Derek O'Connor gets the best out of him.
If this is true. Well, go
potential on. Potential on pedigree and run style. Lightly raced and exposed.
Okay. I'll take that. Taking risks.
Chance.
20, Shattered Love.
No chance.
Chance. I don't think that's impossible. I think she could run quite well. The stamina's a little bit of a doubt. I thought she'd shape quite well at Cheltenham. 21, Jet.
No chance.
22, Lord Dumenil.
No chance.
Chance, although would obviously be helped by rain. 23, Potter's Corner.
Chance.
I say no chance. I said big chance last year. I think he might not be the force of old, and he's got blinkers on for the first time, which I don't love. Class Conti.
Yes, sorry, just coming back to Potter's Corner, the cheek pieces didn't work on first wearing. What don't you like about the blinkers?
I'm just not quite sure why they've gone for them.
Hmm.
Is that a bad argument? Yes.
I wonder whether it's to hold his position. That was anything I was wondering. And I wonder whether, I mean, we do, again, this is in Christian Williams, we trust, but has he just been campaigned in an any second now type way, so we haven't actually seen him doing his best thing? I mean, he hasn't been over regulation fences, has he, since he won the Welsh National?
And he did win the virtual Grand National last year.
He did. Absolutely strong chance on that.
24, Class Conti.
No chance.
I say no chance as well. Ruby Walsh gives him a chance, though. Just pass that on.
I know.
Milan Native.
No chance.
No chance. 26, Discorama.
Chance.
Yeah, chance.
Yeah, and he's got a limited strike rate compared to his ability. But he is a high-class handicapper. We know that. He's placed three times at the Cheltenham Festival and could improve for marathon trips.
Vieux Lion Rouge.
Lovely. No chance.
I love him. I'd love him to run really well and post a personal best. Does he have any chance of winning? No. Cloth Cat.
Chance.
29, Cabaret Queen.
Absolutely no chance.
No chance. Manila Celebration.
No chance.
No chance. Canelo.
No chance.
No chance. The Long Mile.
No chance.
No chance. Give Me a Copper.
No chance.
Absolutely no chance at all. 34, Fire Class.
I'm interested by the that's your first use of absolutely interesting. Farclar, no chance.
Chance. 35, Manila Times.
Chance.
I say no chance. I don't think he's going to stay. 36, Sub Lieutenant.
Absolutely no chance.
No chance. 37, Hogan's Height.
No chance.
He'll jump, but no chance. 38, Double Shuffle.
No chance.
Absolutely no chance. 39, Ami des Bois.
No chance.
Absolutely no chance. 40, Black Lion.
No chance of winning. I could see him running really well, a sort of admirable Aintree standing dish type performance and getting in fourth, fifth or sixth, something like that.
And the reserves, 41, Some Neck if he gets in.
No chance.
And Secret Reprieve, well.
Chance.
It's not going to happen, is it?
In that quick fire round, the only answer I wish I could take back is talk is cheap. I think I'm going to change that to no chance. It's his jumping right thing. The more I thought about it, the more it was bothering me.
Okay, but you're happy with your chances and no chances otherwise, and I expect the phone to be ringing all day. So that leaves us then, Lydia, with your own 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for the Randolph's yes. Grand National.
Do you want it in first to six or six to first?
I think six to first.
Six is Alpha de Zobo because I'm stubborn and, you know, I enjoyed your no chance reaction. So I think he's got a chance of hitting the extended each way places. Fifth, Discorama. I expect him to improve for the trip. Fourth Kimberlite Candy. I backed him for the National in December. I've got a little bit cooler on his chances when we haven't had deeper ground, but nonetheless, I think he'll run well. I wondered whether there might be a headgear switch, and there hasn't been. So he's been demoted from third to fourth in my mind for that. Minella Times, I think he'll run excellently. Might not just quite see it out. Ditto Cloth Cap in second. And the winner is...
Drum roll, please.
Any second now. Wise Guy Horse. It's a Wise Guy Horse.
Well, there you have it. After all of that, perhaps we have found you the winner of the Randox Grand National 2021. That completes this preview. You cannot say that we have not packed a lot in half an hour. My thanks to all my regulars on this podcast, and thanks to everything they've done for you over the last 200 episodes. Cornelius Lysett, Jane Mangan, Lydia Hislop, David Yates, Lee Mottershead, of course, and Rishi Persad, not to mention Tom Stanley, who has stood in for me on a few occasions and did so earlier in the week. And that gives me the perfect opportunity to tell you that if you want to catch up with some of the connections for this weekend's Grand National runs, you can do so by listening to the four previous podcasts this week in this Grand National build-up, where you will hear from, on Monday, Tom Scudamore, the rider of Cloth Cap. We also spoke to Saleka Varma, who's the clerk of the course here at Aintree. Richard Dunwoody, who's won the race on West Tip and Minna Homer, about what he fancied. Nick Alexander, trainer of this year's Fancy Lakeview Lad, although I think Lydia and I both said no chance, disgracefully. Nikki Richards, who does train a horse I really fancy, taking risks. Caroline Tisdall, the owner of Vieux Lion Rouge. Richard Hobson, I spoke to him yesterday. He trains Lord du Menil, who would have a chance if it rains a little bit. Robbie Power is one of only two jockeys in the race who've won the race before, and he rides Magic of Light, who was second 2 years ago. She looks to become the first mare to win the race. It's Nicol Coyne 70 years ago. He spoke to me yesterday as well on his treadmill in Ireland, and we've done a lot of reminiscing this week, including with Nick Gifford, 40 years on from the great Alderneaty. And that's the beauty of the Grand National. It always throws up a terrific story. Do enjoy it, and make sure you watch it. That's the key. 5:15, you can watch it with us on Racing TV, or of course you can watch it on ITV. So many places to enjoy the world's greatest horse race, and we will be back on Monday to review it all and tell you what happened. I will also be uploading the Aintree Grand Women's Summit on this podcast platform over the course of the weekend. Enjoy the Grand National, enjoy the weekend. May they all come back safe and sound, and hopefully all your pockets will be full. From all of us, bye for now. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.